Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. And we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate Mother's Day today. Thank you for giving us our moms. Lord, we just ask your anointing on this message today and every part of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, mothers are teachers and mothers are disciplinarians and moms are cleaning ladies and some moms are gardeners and some are landscapers, and most moms understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows. Yes? I always loved it when my mom baked cookies instead of washing windows. They're nurses, they're doctors, they're psychologists, they're counselors, chauffeurs, coaches. Moms are developers of personalities. They're molders of vocabularies, and they're shapers of attitudes. So moms have some soft voices that say, I love you. And sometimes they have a louder voice that gets after you. But the most important thing to remember about moms and mothering is that we are a child's link to God. We're a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things that I mentioned and much, much more. There's a quote in a Jewish proverb that says, God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. And my critical thinking kicks in and says, but God is omnipresent and God is everywhere. That's just how I go. But when you think about it, I believe what they were trying to say is that moms are God's instrument. That he uses moms to demonstrate his love to his children. The first person normally children go to get some help is their mom. They ask mom. And a lot of times they'll go to dad and dad will say, go ask mom. And so we learn how to ask for help with our moms. We learn how to ask for our needs to be met with our moms. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. When you start to think about it, even as adults, we're asking God with help for help when we need something. And he's omnipresent. He's always with us. And it's wonderful if your mom is still living to have your mom with you. I spent time with my mom yesterday and she's doing well. Thank you for all of your prayers. You know, what an experience. I'm all the way in Kenya and I get news from my brothers and sisters that they've decided to take mom in for emergency surgery. And what they had noticed was that her stomach kept expanding, and it almost looked like in one area like a balloon that was going to blow up. And so they rushed her in, and the doctor was concerned that she had a hole in her intestines, and he said, you know, we can go in and operate, but she may not make it through the surgery. She'll be 94 this year. He said, or we can just try and keep her comfortable. But I'm telling you that her body will go into septic shock and it will be a miserable death. And so they decided that they would have emergency surgery because if she didn't make it, it would be easy on her. And if she did make it, praise God. And so they went in for surgery and it wasn't even what he thought it was. There was something growing on her lower intestines, her small intestines, that looked, he said, like bubble wrap. And he said, I don't know how else to explain it, but it looked like bubble wrap. So they took it off. They took biopsies in three different places and sent that into the lab. And this Friday, she got her reports back. And there's no cancer. Hallelujah. And, yes, we thank God for that. She had her staples out and her incision is healing and she's getting her strength back. And so it was wonderful to be able to come home from Kenya and spend time with my mom. Amen. I thank God for taking care of her and preserving her life. And so praise the Lord. We appreciate our moms and appreciate moms that have gone on, because we know the sacrifice of a mother's love. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, in the heart of Jesus, I believe there was a very special place for his mom. And when you think about Mary, she was just a teenager when an angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to conceive a child and that she was giving birth to the Son of God. And so we don't know all of Mary's struggles, but I'm sure there were many, because she was pregnant in a culture that was totally unacceptable. And people were probably talking about her and Joseph. But you know, she heard from the Lord. She had a visitation from an angel, and she was willing to do whatever it took. And so that's often the attitudes moms have. We're willing to do whatever it takes. Is that right? Yeah, if you're a mom, you know, it's like you're willing to do whatever it takes. And Mary had that same attitude and love towards Jesus. And Jesus had a love towards her. And we read about that in John 19 when he was hanging on the cross. You know, he was taking care of eternity as God. Right? He had eternal business to take care of as he was hanging on the cross. Suffering. But he did not forget about his earthly business and the natural affairs of his family. And he shared this in John 19:26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So Mary was at the foot of the cross. She walked the whole way with Jesus. And I cannot even begin to imagine how she felt. We can hardly stand it when our child stubs their toe and hurts themselves, right? Right? Don't you run to their aid or they fall down? You're like running to help them and pick them up. But Mary, she endured all of the suffering and the shame that she watched Jesus go through as she walked those steps to the cross. And what a brave woman to be able to endure that. I know she had to have supernatural strength from the Lord. But what I found very interesting about this whole situation was that Jesus had other brothers and sisters. History records that he had other brothers and sisters. I'm sure there were other family members that could have taken care of his mom. But what if his beloved John, the disciple that leaned against his bosom, was in need of a mom? Maybe John didn't have a mother. And Jesus recognized the need of Mary to have someone to care for her. But even more than that, John needed a mom in his life to take care of him. Everyone needs a mom. And you know, it's interesting, in the family of God, God will provide mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers in your spiritual family. Because there's a high value that God puts upon family. But he was showing how important it is to take care of and to love our mothers, even when he hung there on the cross. And this is the first commandment with a promise. If we can read in Ephesians 6:1, the scripture says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And this comes from the commandment in Exodus 20:12, which says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." So Jesus was fulfilling the scripture in every point by honoring his mom. It's interesting how God describes his relationship with his people, because he doesn't talk about us like his relationship with us like we're a business partner. But he always refers to his relationship with his people in a most intense way. Because he calls himself, he's always our father, but he often refers to himself as our mother, our husband. I'll be your brother, I'll be your sister. These are intense relationships in life. So God describes the nature of his relationship with his people like a mother's relationship with her child. And we're going to look at that in Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah 49:13-16 says, "Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice. O earth, burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" And Isaiah comes back with a question: "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." So the issue that Isaiah presents in this passage is about forgetting and neglecting. And God uses a mothering metaphor to engage us. And the passage speaks of how the child is born and given nourishment by its mother. And God is telling his people how intense he is about his relationship with us. He's intense. It's not a casual relationship. Often we take our relationship with God and treat it very casual. But God's relationship to us is not casual. He says, "I will sustain you. I will not forget you. And I will nourish you even in your time of discipline." So the power of this metaphor, of course, depends upon the positive image that you would have of your mother relationship. Again, I realize that some people sitting here today may not have had a great mom, like the one we've been describing, or perhaps your mother and you feel you're the mother and you feel like you haven't done enough for your children and you're beating yourself up with guilt. Or perhaps you're a childless woman and you've never been a mother. Whatever state you're in this morning, God said, even if mothers were to forget their children, even if they were to neglect their children, I would not forget you. I will nourish you. I will sustain you. And God didn't forget them because he brought them back into their land and their blessing, and eventually he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for them. And Jesus refers to himself as a mother hen in Matthew 23:37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to her, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not." So Jesus is describing himself as a person like a mother hen that just wanted to gather his people, but they refused. They refused to go. The good news is about this passage is that if we feel forgotten or forsaken, we can still find comfort. And it's not from your mom. but it is from God. God will not fail to take care of us, and God will not fail to remember us. Even when the whole world is turned upside down, even when it feels like all odds are against us, God is there. And if our God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And God wants us to understand that this morning in a deeper, more intimate way, that His relationship with us is intense. And He holds us in the palm of His hand. He can't forget us, because the scripture says, didn't it say that we were engraved? I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Can you imagine how big God's hands are? The scripture tells us that God throws our sins behind Him and He doesn't remember them anymore. Can you imagine how far your sins go when God throws them? Way out into the next galaxy, I'm sure. So a mom's love is nurturing and compassionate. And another important truth is that it's sacrificial. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" Driven by compassion, moms remember those special times when you're holding your baby. When we were boarding one of our planes, Apostle Ron was with us, and there was a mom with a baby, and it was already fussing. And Apostle Ron goes, "Oh, I wonder what seat they have." Oh, and I'm thinking, oh, the poor mom. Can you imagine trying to keep the baby quiet for 8 hours on a flight and content? And all of the movement, you know, and going up and coming down. You know, it hurts your ears. All of that movement affects you, and you know what's going on, but here's this poor baby that has no idea why it's feeling all these sensations. But the baby wasn't close to us, so he was able to sleep. You know, some people can tune out the crying, and some people just can't tune it out. And they say when a baby cries, everybody's blood pressure goes up. Did you know that? Especially when you're in a situation where, you know, you can't really do anything about it. But we made it. We made it. But moms, they keep on giving. They keep on giving. They get up in the middle of the night and take care of all of those feedings. And sometimes dads get up. Sometimes. Hallelujah. Men don't seem to hear children as quickly, but I might be wrong, but that's just been my experience. But we give up personal goals and activities for our children. We do without so that they can have. And God does this too. He gave His Son because of His love for us. Because He wasn't willing that any of us should perish. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" I have a story for you from World War II. And this is about a Holocaust family, the Solomon Rosenberg family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together and embrace one another and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, and he was huddled, weeping and praying. And he said, "Josh, tell me, it's not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." And Mama said, "There is nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took his hand and went with him. You know, when I read that story, I thought, the mom said, "There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll take your hand." And it just reminds me of Jesus, because he says to us, "Fear not. I'm with you." Jesus takes our hands and he walks through life with us, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the test or the trial that we're facing. We know that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. And he sticks closer to us than a brother. His relationship to us is intense. He sustains us. He will not forget us. And he continues to nourish us. And we are marked on the palms of his hands. What great love God has for us. Far more than we can even imagine or think. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that it takes all of us together to begin to comprehend the height and the depth and the width of God's love for us. As we see God help each one of us and help our families and help our children through situations, we realize how great God's love is. When we mess up, when we stumble, when we sin, when we fall, God is always there to help us back up again. And when we witness that in one another's life, we see how great God's love is for each one of us. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God gave it to us anyway, because he's not willing that any of us should perish. His love is so great. If you've never experienced the love of Jesus Christ, I encourage you this morning, receive him as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your life and be involved in what you're doing. He's just waiting for you to ask. You know, he doesn't push himself on anybody. But he said, "I am a very present help in time of trouble. If you'll call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved." You know, sometimes it doesn't work out the way we would like it to, but God has a plan for our life, and God's plan for our life is the best plan that could ever happen. Because he knows every detail, he knows the end from the beginning. And he's a good, good father. He's a good father. Jeff, would you let Tricia know that we're ready for the Sunday school department to come back in? We had asked for them to come back in this morning, and before they come, we're just going to pray over this message, this word that's been sown into our hearts. God wants us to know how much he loves us. He's always our father, but he has a motherly love for us too. And he is able to fill those voids in your heart, to heal those wounds from the past. Moms have a big effect on our lives. If you're struggling with your mom or issues from the past, there's a book called The Mom Factor. It's a good book. And it helps you work through those childhood experiences. It helps you honor your mother. That's what the commandment said, honor your father and mother. You give them honor because that is the position God gave them in your life. God decided who your mom and dad would be. We didn't have any choice about that. God picked the family that He wanted us to be in. And He picked that person specially. And so there is a reason. And we're to honor that. So Father, this morning I thank You for Your ministry to each one of our hearts. Lord, that we experience Your love. God, that You heal hearts in areas, Lord, where they just didn't understand their mom or their father, Lord. We just ask that You heal those areas of our heart and help us, Lord, to prepare a place of honor for our moms and our dads. And Lord, help us to receive Your love this morning. Anything, God, that is causing us to block that love, to resist that love, to push it away, Lord, I just ask You to penetrate those barriers this morning. Lord, that our hearts would be full, that we would know the love of God. And we would know the depth of that love and the height of that love. Lord, I thank You for this River of Life family and all of the children, Lord, that You have brought together in this place. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. All the time, God is good. He is good. Thank You, Lord.